Look, every normal human being does some combination of air trumpet and jazz hands and fake clutching at the heart attack, I'm coming to see you, Elizabeth. Whenever they hear that music is how a normal human being reacts. good morning. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Bruce Woody is the executive director of the Emerald Coast Utilities Authority, more affectionately known as ECUA. Newcomers to the area, it's not ECUA. If you say that, everybody will know you're new. But that's okay. You know, everybody has to transition. We learn how to pronounce things differently here. Bruce, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning.
Good to talk to you.
Yeah, no, always good to talk to you. First thing I want to make sure we talk about is the fluoride ban went into place since you and I last spoke, and I think it's a July 1 implementation. But your plan at ECUA, having possession of the chemical that eventually becomes fluoride in the water, in your possession, how are you guys going to dispose of that? What is your plan to comply with the looming ban on fluoridating the water in Florida?
We spent quite a bit of time last night at ECUA's board meeting discussing that very topic. By the end of the discussion, the direction to staff was to not make any additional purchases of fluoride and to just use up essentially what we have on hand. And as of yesterday's meeting, we had 1,002 gallons of the material, but we consume it at the rate of about 750 gallons per week. So sometime in the next 7 to 10 days, depending on how much water we sell during that period of time, we'll be out of the fluoride business.
Okay. So, you know, early June basically will be, you know, there will no longer be fluoride in the water. Do you plan on making an announcement of any kind? I mean, just to let people know that that's happened?
We'll probably issue a press release in general to say that that it has been ceased.
Okay.
As of some specified day.
And July 1st was the compliance date, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
How, just out of curiosity, like how much does fluoride, had it been costing you material and labor per month, if you have any, like, you know, rough estimate of that?
Well, I can kind of give you an annual figure. It's about $390,000 a year altogether. That's a combination of the cost of the chemical itself, plus the cost of maintenance of the pumping equipment associated delivering expense, plus all the labor taking it out to wells, et cetera. So, obviously that's a savings, but those savings will be immediately put into the rising cost of providing granular activated carbon filtering at all of our wells.
Very good. Yeah, which makes total sense because that's a very expensive thing, the filtering apparatus. Like you said, the GAC filter is very expensive. But, you know, $30,000 to $35,000 a month, that makes sense. And just for people who are kind of wondering, you correct me if I'm wrong, but my understanding is the reason that you're just continuing to put it in the water until the base material runs out is because the base material is very difficult to dispose of safely, but it is very easy to dispose of at regular levels in the water supply, and so that's the best way to draw down to zero the supply while you're continuing to fluoridate the water at the levels that have been safe now for, you know, 20 years or whatever, right?
That is certainly a fair statement, but I think it's also fair to say that there was a little bit of debate back and forth with our board members on whether to continue to provide fluoride to the end of the month versus stop it earlier. The mediation between those two points of view was pretty much, let's just use what we have and end it then.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll watch the meeting. I did not actually watch the meeting yesterday, but I had the UWF board meeting, of course, to watch. So, but I'll be curious to hear that debate.
Right.
Switching gears now a little bit to talk about the EPA. The EPA has made, by my judgment, and again, you tell me if I'm wrong on any of this, but my assessment of the EPA announcement from a couple of weeks ago was two things that might potentially affect us, and it doesn't seem like either of them actually will. Number one is there was a delisting of, I believe, two forever chemicals that are neither PFOS nor PFAS, and probably we don't even have them around here, that they aren't to be concerned about those anymore. The other thing was that the implementation requirement that within 5 years you have to be down to the 4 parts per trillion or 3 parts, I forget what it is, this incredibly low number, that has to be done within, now you have 7 years to comply with that. Am I right on my base, and then how much will either of those, if at all, affect us?
Correct. The original legislation required that we be, for everybody be fully compliant across the United States within 5 years. They've relaxed that to make that 7 years. I think that came largely from how many folks, unlike us, who just were totally unprepared. And there's a major capital investment. It takes a lot of time to do the design work, construction, and implementation. As this community knows, we've been investing in GAC for quite a long time, and we're probably almost two-thirds of the way through providing those services across our entire service area anyway. So our intentions are to still complete it within the original 5 years. So the 2 years probably won't be necessary unless there's a supply problem getting tanks or equipment.
Sure.
As for the other chemicals, yes, we have very small trace indications of some of those that were delisted, but they really weren't a concern in our area. PFOS and PFOS.
Okay.
We really had a chase.
And that's what I had thought when I read the EPA announcement. It's kind of like a big, bright headline that I thought, I don't think any of that's really going to apply to us because of where we're at, what we've been doing all along. So good news. I appreciate that. We're talking, Bruce, it's been in the news recently a couple of times, pretty high profile over the last few days, particularly on WEAR, that you have this, sewage release, unfortunately, over off of Scenic by Olive at Cypress Point by the Skinner Mill Creek. But as I understand it, if fingers crossed, all goes well, this may be the last of these news stories, we hope. Is that right?
Certainly do hope so. Yeah, across the United States, the problem of aging infrastructure is really an issue. That's going to be more and more of an issue as time goes on. We're not immune to that either. We have infrastructure in some parts of town that have reached the end of their service life. In the northeast corner of town, north and south of I-10 near the Scambia Bay, we have an old force main system that was constructed in the late 60s, early 70s, and it's cast iron.
And, did you say cast iron? Oh, okay, go on.
Cast iron, not ductile iron, yeah. And as a result, it's had some failures. So we have we've moved it up on our capital improvements program, and total we're investing $7.8 million in replacing this old infrastructure. It consists of 20,653 feet of 16-inch diameter cast iron main. Right now, we have already we've completed 4 phases out of 6. The fifth one is probably about half done, and then the sixth one is unfortunately this one that broke again on Scenic Highway. It doesn't matter what order we do those six, one of them is always going to be last. Unfortunately, this particular one along Scenic was the last phase of the six that we're doing, and we did have another break. But it's already under contract. We already have materials on order, and about two-thirds of those materials are already received. We anticipate starting on replacement of that line the second or third week of June.
Oh, okay. So really imminent, not just, like in 6 months, but really imminent. This is going to be a done deal. And so, I mean, I'm sure for the folks who live in that area, it's not a pleasant, they don't love having any breaks, but knowing that at least this should be the end of that problem, right?
Yeah, that section is on the west side of Scenic Highway from Winding Lane, which is just about a block north of Olive, all the way to Addison. It's about 2,000 feet long, and it's that particular one's actually 18 inches in diameter.
What, just totally out of curiosity, because this is how my brain works, what happens to all the old iron? Are you able to sell that for scrap at least? Or, what happens to all of it? Because that's, a couple thousand feet worth of iron.
Yes, that does go to scrap. The disposal responsibility of that is part of a bid item from the contractor, though.
Okay, all right. I'm just thinking about, railroad pieces or, maybe skillets or, I don't know what, would anybody want a skillet that at one time was a part of a 50-year-old force main system for sewage. I don't know, maybe not. But, you know, you get it hot enough, all the impurities burn out.
That's right. After it's gone through a 2,000-degree Fahrenheit furnace.
It's good as new. Absolutely. Last thing, I think, yesterday, or actually two things. You guys had a couple of votes yesterday. One was a well, and another one was a septic-to-sewer conversion, and maybe even two projects. What did you guys do yesterday? What did your board do?
Yeah, and talking about PFAS, the next well that's going to receive granular-activated carbon filtration is the Royce Well. Royce Well is located on Royce Street, which is just south of Bayou Boulevard between 12th Street and North Davis Highway.
Okay.
So that one will be under constructed this year. I'm also pleased to announce that we awarded two of our large septic sewer projects over in the Brownsville area. Those are very large projects, about $6 or $7 million apiece. One of them includes some water line replacement as well. And those are projects that we're constructing with the help of state grants. We received about $11 million from the state grants. One of them came in a little higher than anticipated in terms of bids. We were a little nervous about that. We went to the state, and they graciously are providing us an additional $1.7 million to help fund that project without any additional grant matches. So we're very pleased and appreciative of FDEP's help on that project.
Outstanding. Now, is that primarily existing homes and businesses that are going to convert, or is that preparation for future builds and making it so that they have access to sewer, or both?
Very much both.
Okay.
For instance, one location is along Navy Boulevard, west of Bayou Chico. There's areas in there that are largely developed, but there are some infill vacant lots that this will benefit and help encourage redevelopment. The other location is north of Mobile Highway at Cervantes, between about North T Street and Hollywood Avenue. The majority of that area, three-quarters of that area, is covered with homes that are served by septic tanks. There is quite a bit of infill lots that can be redeveloped as a result of providing sewer service as well.
Outstanding. Protecting the watershed, protecting the bays. And then also, the other question is, does the cost, the grants, does that cover just you guys building the lines, or does that actually make it so that people are paid for if they do their interconnection at their home? Because I know that's a lot for the homeowner. That can be a very expensive thing. Will the homeowners, the current homeowners, have to pay for the connection to the sewer?
Yes and no. County has some wonderful programs through community development block grant, CDBG, that you hear oftentimes, or
yeah,
CRA, that provides assistance for folks who are income eligible, and to provide most, sometimes, in some cases, even all of those expenses covered. They'll have to speak with the county's CDBG department to confirm their eligibility. But for the most of the folks, will be eligible for some help in that particular neighborhood.
Okay, outstanding. Bruce Woody, he is Executive Director of the Emerald Coast Utilities Authority, ECUA. Bruce, as always, thank you for the time. Thank you for, you know, keeping our drinking water clean and getting rid of our sewage and, you know, helping us take care of recyclables and, you know, all of that, and picking up our trash, all the things that ECUA does. I appreciate it. It's essential work. If it doesn't happen, you notice really fast. Bruce, thank you so much for the time,
right,
sir. And we'll talk to you next month.
Thank you, Andrew.